Well, I'm very excited about our guest speaker this year, tonight and tomorrow morning. He's a wonderful friend who has been a part of this church, who has been on mission trips. I've been on mission trips with him. It's incredible to see. He's got an amazing testimony, and I can't tell you all of it because that's part of what he wants to share with you. I just want you guys to welcome and make him feel at home, because he is, Jonathan Rizzo.
Cut her a check. If that play, what we just, I've seen this many times, if that doesn't make your eyes water, then check the heart, because that I got choked up. I got choked up. Let's get the elephant out of the room. It's super weird being right here, and Pastor Doug is right there. It should be flip-flop. I don't know. And you got your scorecard out? Man, well, I just want to thank Pastor Daniel and you guys for having me here. It's an absolute honor and privilege to be here today and with you guys tomorrow. And some great men and women have shared this stage. And if I did my math right, I may be wrong, Miss Valerie, I think 43 years of this. And incredible people have shared this stage. So I want to emphasize it's an honor. When Pastor Daniel asked me through email, I was shaking when I read it on my phone, shaking. And I said, what an honor this is. And I've been coming to these since I was a teenager. So it's really cool to be back and see a lot of familiar faces. So I don't know if you guys know, but I actually wrote a book. I wrote a book. And it's called 3 Hours to Live. And I actually have a table out there if you guys are interested in supporting the ministry. It's about a crazy thing that I went through. And actually, Miss Valerie endorsed it. She was crazy enough to endorse it. So if she puts her name behind it, I promise you, you're gonna like it. Amen. Amen. Cut her a check. So another thing I want to mention is they're normally $12.99 online, but tonight there's a special in person. It's always $10. Or you can get the deal that Daniel told me I could do, 2 for $25. So make sure you guys take advantage of the deal. And this is actually a true story, I think. The book is a true story. What I'm about to say may not be, but some crazy school back east, an Ivy League school, you know they always spend billions of dollars on these studies. And they said that a signed book actually gets 25 cents more at a garage sale. Who knew? Who knew, right? So, I have to be honest with you guys. I'm excited. I think that God has something in store. Last night was fantastic. Tonight's going to be rad. Tomorrow's going to be just as cool. And I was very honest with Pastor Daniel. Last couple of weeks has been really tough on me. Spiritual warfare, which I've experienced a lot in my life. The enemy really, really, really amped it up the last couple of weeks, 10 days. And that's when you know that something's about to happen. There's going to be breakthrough. And this morning I woke up and I'm not feeling 100% at all. So I got the congestion going on and the enemy's trying to attack my health now. But I'm low on energy tonight. But if there's truth that's spoken, and there will be, I want you guys, let's be loud. We're in church. You know what I mean? If there's something that you agree with, come on, man. Let's give it up for Jesus. So I just want to introduce myself. I'm Johnny Rizzo. I'm 34 years old. I have a full-time job. I'm a college counselor here in San Diego. I've been doing it for about 10 years. I'm also a part-time youth pastor in Ocean Beach, and my goal is that I can become full-time soon. And being a youth pastor is really rad, and I just want to honor my two youth pastors that I had growing up, Pastor Greg and Pastor Zach. It's so amazing seeing you guys. There's something special about those two men, and I have a special place for both of you guys in my heart, so I love you guys. And I was actually a graduate of Berean Bible College. A graduate of Berean Bible College. And I, for those of you that know me, you're going to be like, you graduated? I did, but, you know, I'm actually quite smart. I really am. And actually, in elementary school, I actually skipped a grade. I went from the fifth to the third. So it was awesome. But with Berean Bible College, I did go on 3 missions trips. And missions is very close to my heart, which is why I'm very excited to be up here this weekend. Additionally, I wanted to introduce my family to you guys. My wife, Lindsay, is sitting back there. And there she is. Beautiful girl. Beautiful girl. Been married 6 years. Give it up. And then I have 3 daughters. 3 daughters. The one on my left in the green is Evelyn Rianne. The one in the middle is Cecilia Grace. And then Gianna Danielle is 6 months old. I brought a few more photos. I mean, how can you leave that out? I wish that Cecilia Grace had personality. We're working on that. And then while I was preparing, my wife said, "Babe, why don't you tell them about some hobbies so they can get to know me a little bit better?" And I said, "Absolutely. So I have a few hobbies. I'm a huge baseball fan. I'm also a drummer. And I've been playing drums for about 20 years. Hold off on the next one for a minute, Krista. I love the gym. The gym's kind of my stress relief. And when you're a dad of 3 daughters, I don't own a gun, so that's the next best thing. And then my wife, she said, "Hey, babe, if you're talking about your hobbies, why don't you share one of my hobbies?" So here's my wife's hobby. As a mom of 3, my hobbies include not getting pregnant again. It's a good hobby. So the theme of the weekend is prayer. That's the theme of the weekend. I love what we did last night. We just spent time in prayer with God. Like, how cool is that? I was so encouraged last night praying for our missionaries, and actually hearing what's really going on right now in the missions field. And I just went home. I was super, super excited for tonight and for tomorrow. So prayer does mean a whole lot to me. It really does. And I'd always understood the importance and the power of prayer, but it wasn't until I went through a really crazy situation in my life until I fully understood the impact of prayer. And once I understood, I'm telling you guys right now, my life never has been the same. So I'm here to tell you guys that I'm alive tonight, right now, because of prayer. I stand before you right now breathing. Every breath that I take is because thousands of prayer warriors went to God on my behalf, and many of them coming from this church. Many of you guys coming from this church. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on. But our theme verse this weekend is Luke 10:2. And as I was preparing, there's so many translations and versions in the Bible, right? Everyone's got a translation. And it's so crazy how God works, because the 2 translations that I picked was that one and that one, right? So I just want to read it, and it's right here. It says, Luke 10:2, "And he said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" We're going to be talking about this so much and reading this verse. We're going to be leaving tomorrow afternoon with it imprinted in our hearts. Now, this is talking about gathering workers for a spiritual harvest. So all you farmers in Ramona, you're like, oh, all right. And then the Message version, it says, "What a huge harvest, and how few the harvest hands. So on your knees..." Let's repeat that. "On your knees, ask the God of the harvest to send harvest hands." There's something about being on your knees before the Almighty God that we're going to be talking about here in a little bit. And then last night, Pastor Greg and his crew does the most amazing thing ever. And I'm looking at some of these brothers' arms, and they're the size of my head. So I said, I don't want them to be excluded. So I Googled something called the Pigeon Bible. ask my wife. I will screw this up so bad. But I wanted you guys to feel welcome. So this is what it says. I think it's going to be up there somewhere. Video. This wasn't in the contract. All right. We ready? Pigeon Bible, Luke 10:2. He tell them, get plenty people. They just like the crops. But only get little bit. Guys, go bring them in. So ask the boss up, dad, that own the crops. Go send out guys, go bring them in. Daniel, I don't understand why the pigeon's not on the wall. How was it? Amen. How we doing? I gotta take a step back. I'm sorry, guys. My church, OB1, we do winter camp. This is going to be our fourth year. And we partner with Living Way Church and Pastor Jeff the last 4 years. And I'm telling you guys right now, there's something special about camps. I grew up going to camp. And we're so excited. It's going to be February 22nd through the 24th this year, coming up in a couple weeks. And us partnering with you guys, there's just something about it. And I just want to thank you guys for doing that, because we're expecting God to move crazy this coming year. So we'll get back to it. All right. So missions conference is a time where we can come together as a church family. Get invested in what God is doing on the missions field. And most of the time, when we think about missions, we think about evangelism. But I want to emphasize the wording after therefore. What it says is, it says to pray earnestly. Pray earnestly. It's not an option. It's a command. That's a command to pray earnestly. And it's a command that comes right after discussing missions work. And when Jesus tells you to do something, you do it. You listen. Now, a lot of times when people speak, they put like Bible verses up there. I'm going to do something a little different. There's a few things that I have, like little nuggets that God really spoke to me on. So I'm going to have Krista shoot them up here. And if you guys want to write them down, you can. So here's one of the nuggets that I got. I put, missions does not happen without prayer. Missions does not happen without prayer. It is impossible. Another little nugget I got for y'all. It says evangelism won't work without prayer.
Right.
It's true. It doesn't. And we will never know God the way that he wants us to know him without
prayer.
Man, you guys are paying attention. One more nugget. It says, for a Christian, prayer is just as important as breathing. That's so deep. It's so simple, but it's so deep. For a Christian, prayer is just as important as breathing. Prayer is the key ingredient that creates effective change, not only in our lives, but in the lives of future believers. Luke 10:2, if you read it, it doesn't say the laborers are few, so you have to work harder and put more work in to tend to the harvest before you. It says, hey, there's so much harvest. There's so many people, you are not going to be able to do it all on your own.
Right.
So get on your knees before Jesus. Come before the Lord and pray that the laborers come to help. And they will. And they will. Sometimes we want to try to do evangelism and missions work on our own strength, but we can't. But we all have a part in this, all of us. Andrew Murray was a pastor in South Africa in the 1800s. I came across a quote from this guy. I never heard of him. I do now. Sorry, Chris. I'm sure you talked about him in church history. This is what it says. It says, the man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history. I want to read that again. The man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make, not might make, maybe there's a possibility, a 20% chance. It says it will make the greatest contribution to world evangelization in history. Prayer is kind of important. It's kind of important, and that's the theme of the weekend. I love the fact that your pastor, Pastor Daniel, is committing Living Way Church to pray more than ever this year.
Yes.
And I'm telling you guys right now, that you will see miracles happen.
Yes.
Okay? You will witness mountains being moved right before your very eyes. You will see the impossible become possible because of prayer. You're going to have the unknown become known, the sick be healed, the kingdom of God advanced. Just because of your commitment to prayer.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've been seeing his Facebook. I've been stalking it the last couple of weeks. And leading up to this weekend, he's been dropping some prayer truth bombs. On Facebook. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so good. He's so excited for it. And he's so excited for Living Way Church to just really take ownership of praying and getting on our knees and advancing the church into the kingdom so people are exposed to the gospel. The mission of advancing the gospel is the great work of the church. And prayer's the engine that moves it.
Yes.
It's prayer that moves it. It's the driving force behind it. Okay? Because without prayer, it's dead. There's no movement. There's zero advancing. That's the truth. That's why we as Christians, we've got to pray. Another quote that I found was from Brother James Frazier, who was a missionary to the great people of China. My heart is in China. I'm going to go over that here in just a moment. But this is what Brother James Frazier says. He says, I used to think that prayer should have the first place and teaching the second. But I now feel it would be truer to give prayer the first, the second, and third places and teaching the fourth. Let's give it up for Jesus. Come on. So good. That's so good. And this is coming from a missionary who was in China. That's how important to him prayer is. So when it comes to praying, we have the most awesome example in Jesus. I think that prayer was kind of important to him.
Yes.
Right? I think it was pretty important to him. All throughout scriptures, we see how important it was to him. But we also see that Jesus himself made prayer a priority every single day. And I wanted to share a few verses with you guys showing this example and how he led by example. And here's the thing. You have Jesus Christ, whose perfection, right, perfect, came to earth, died for our sins. If prayer was important to Jesus himself, guys, it should be number one on our list.
Yes.
It should be. So Matthew 14:23, this is what it says. It says, after he had dismissed them being the disciples, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. A few things here. He went by himself to eliminate the distraction. He left his iPhone at home, his tablet. And he said, I'm going to leave my tribe, and I'm going to go to a place of solitude where there's zero distractions, and I'm going to cry out to my Father. And it says, when evening came, he was still there. When the sun went down, he was still on his knees. Mark 1:35. Man, I love this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So we just saw in Matthew that he ended his night that way, and we see in Mark he's starting his day this way. Again, he went off by himself where he prayed. And then Mark 14, very important part of Scripture. Mark 14, Garden of Gethsemane. The day before the greatest event in mankind, human history, Mark 14 says, Jesus is with his people, right? And he says, all right, you guys stay here. I'm going to bring a few of my close ones. And then you guys stay here and you guys stay watch. And then the Bible says he went a little bit further and it says he fell to the ground, a.k.a. he fell on his knees for an hour. An hour. And he cried out to God. And after an hour, he goes back and his people are sleeping, snoozing, snoring. He says, what are you guys doing? Something crazy is about to happen. Wake up. Goes back. Stone's throw away is what some translations say. And he goes for another hour and prays. Comes back and they're sleeping again. Here's my point. I don't know if I should feel bad about this, but I've never prayed for 2 hours straight. I haven't. But what I can tell you is that I have prayed. And when I pray, the power of God moves through the Holy Spirit. And 3 minutes turned into five, and five turned into seven, and seven turned into 10. And then I started seeing miracles happen all around me. And in Mark 14, which is so interesting, is that the Bible says that Jesus was deeply distressed and troubled. You think? He knew it was about to happen in 24 hours. And this is so important because alone time with God is not always puppies and rainbows and this amazing thing that we think about. We go to God with our troubles, our craziness, our hurt, our pain. When we're mad, confused. And God says, keep going. I'm here and I love you. In exhausting days, we're not an excuse for Jesus not to spend time with the Father.
Right.
He knew the importance of always being in communication with the Father. We got to have the same prayer life. We got to. So I told you guys earlier, I'm standing up here today because of prayer. I went through a crazy health situation 9 years ago. And I don't want to discount the work that the doctors and the nurses did, because they did amazing stuff, but and they kept me alive, but it was prayer why I'm here today. And it was because of thousands upon thousands of people who went up to Christ on my behalf. And I just wanted to show you guys two quick photos. So that's me right there. That's so what had happened was I was in a coma with the H1N1 flu back in 2009, aka the swine flu. Don't eat bacon. And that's the flu that's making its way again right now. And it's not about me tonight, guys. Read the book. See that I'm a salesman. Buy the book. I'll be out there after. But I was—I don't want to say I was dead, because I was never pronounced dead, but I was lifeless. I was lifeless in that photo. And I ended up being in the hospital for 30 days. Ended up being in a coma for 21 days. Any of you guys ever been in a coma? It's my bro right there, my sister. Awesome. Like a part of a club. 21 days of sleep. And I don't want to get into the specifics, but I was as dead as you can get without being dead. One day my body crashed, and that was it. And I had machines literally pumping my heart and in my lungs and whatever. And I was put into this bed. It's called a pronation bed, rotoprone, $300,000 to $400,000 bed. Many of you guys saw this bed in person. And if you can see, if you look up at the top, you can see my neck. Right in the middle, you can see my kneecaps. And right at the end, you can see my little toes. And I spun in this bad boy for 2 weeks of my life. And this is what kept me alive. And it looks like something out of NASA. There's some seat belts, and they strap me in. And what it does is it kind of moves you like 180 degrees. And what happened was I had such bad pneumonia on my lungs, 70% pneumonia. So the scarring was so bad that this thing moved and sloshed the fluid in my lungs to get air up to me. That thing kept me alive, along with your prayer. And during this time, many countries prayed for me. Many, several. I got text messages from people in China when I woke from the coma. I turned on my phone. Someone in Italy said I was on their prayer chain. Italy. I got messages from people in Connecticut, and they said, hey, I'm never going to meet you on this side of heaven, but I'm praying for you. Hundreds of these messages from all over the world. Hundreds of messages. And it's an honor and it's a privilege to be able to pray for one another. It is. Yes. It's an honor and it's a privilege. And it's our duty as brothers and sisters in the Lord. So I want to challenge you guys right now. I'm going over by 5 minutes. Forgive me. I'm going over. This is good stuff. Next time that you're on, how we doing? Here's my challenge. This goes for you guys, all the little kids and everyone in here. My challenge is this. Next time that you're on social media, Facebook, Instagram, email, I don't care what you got, and you see a prayer request, you don't scroll. You don't. You stop. It's in chapter 7 of this book. You stop. And how many times are we on email? Oh, prayer request. I don't know. Instagram, hey, pray for, I don't know you. Facebook, hey, this person, I'm good. I'm going to keep scrolling. But if they did that to me, I may not be here today. I wouldn't be here today. So next time you're on Facebook or Instagram or you name it, email, and something comes through, take a moment. Take 60 seconds of your day and lift them up. It saved my life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Even though I wrote a book, I don't really think I'm an author. It's weird. I wish I could say I wrote this, but I didn't. But I came across this online and it's so powerful. It says, a Christian can see more on his knees than he can from the street. You can see more clearly on your knees than you can in the Tower of America's on your feet. Prayer is not getting God, listen to this, prayer is not getting God prepared to do your will, but prayer is getting you prepared to do God's will. We could stop right now, go home, and that's, you know what I'm saying, but we're going to keep going. Prayer is the only way to release the supernatural power of God in your life, in your marriage, in your business, to show you great and mighty things that you never thought. So good. And we can see a lot more clearly when we are on our knees before God for every situation. When I was in the hospital, this woman, good friend of our family's from Ramona. She's older. She's like 40. I was like, am I going to say that? Yeah, I am. So you'll have a new speaker tomorrow morning. I'm 34. I'm almost there. She told me, she said, Jonathan, every single day when you're spinning, every single day, she said, I got on my knees. She's in her 60s, maybe 70s. I got on my knees before the throne of God, and I prayed that God would spare your life to the point where my kneecaps got that bloodiness to them. And I said, well, thank you. It's all you can say. We can see a lot more clearly on our knees before God. And we have confidence knowing that when we pray, God hears us. It's not like this wasted prayer that just goes to this random mailbox that's not monitored, right? Here's proof. I have a few verses. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is actually my favorite band ever, favorite Christian band, I should say, is Casting Crowns. This is what they wrote their hit song, What If His People Prayed. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. Will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. He hears us.
Yes.
Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. Will listen. I will listen. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Boom. He hears us. And we all know 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Super long. Pray continually. And then as I was preparing, I said, I wonder what other translations say. And they say, never stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. Always keep on praying. And my favorite, be unceasing and persistent in prayer. Persistent in prayer. You may be sitting here tonight in a rough patch in your marriage. Let me encourage you right now, keep praying and don't give up hope. You may be going through a tough financial situation right now. Let me encourage you to keep praying and not give up hope. You may be going through a scary health situation right now. Let me encourage you to keep praying and not give up hope. You may be single wondering if God will ever send that person to you. Let me encourage you to keep praying, not give up hope. You may be praying for a situation for a while now and there's no answer or clarity. Let me encourage you to keep praying and not give up hope. And you may be praying for a family member or a close friend to come to know Jesus and they still haven't surrendered their lives. What am I going to tell you guys to do? Not give up hope. I took a class in Bible college. Pastor Daniel taught. It was called Evangelism 101 or something like that. So it was like 101. Evangelism 1. I don't know. Evangelism. And this was 13 years ago. And he said part of the assignment was you're going to pick one person. One person. And this one person is going to be someone that you're never going to stop praying for. And I picked someone extremely close to me. And this person saw me spinning on that bed. And he spent time in the hospital when I had 19 lines in me. When I was lifeless and I was told you prepare his funeral. And if he lives, he's just going to be a vegetable. And he's never going to walk, talk, write, think, spell, work, anything again. And he saw miracle after miracle. And guess what? He still hasn't surrendered his life to Jesus. And it breaks my heart. But guess what? I'm going to keep praying.
Yes.
I'm going to keep praying. And I'm not going to give up because I know one day, Jesus is going to hit him so hard. We're going to close with a story, but before we close with a story, I think this is so good. We good? Can I share a story? Before we get to the story, I want to share. I put prayer is powerful. Okay? Write this down. Prayer is powerful, but it isn't our words that make praying powerful. It's because of who we pray to. Sorry, guys. Sorry to break it to you. You're awesome. But it's not these crazy words that we throw up. Prayer is so powerful and it works because of who we pray to. I was in Bible college. I was just talking to Pastor Daniel about this. It was either the first or second year. I think it was the first year. And I didn't want to be there. But I knew I had the calling of God on my life. But I still didn't want to be there. But I knew I had the calling of God on my life. And so I enroll. And they said, we do missions trips. And I said, that's cool. I want to go. And before we knew where we were going, I told God, it was me telling God, I said, listen, I want to go to Maui. Legit, this is my prayer. I want to go to Maui. London needs Jesus. Bora Bora needs Jesus. That'd be like a $20,000 mission trip. London, New York City, Miami. But I had no interest ever in going to Asia. And I don't know why. I just didn't have an interest. And I committed, and it was you maybe announced, hey guys, we have a place. We're going to Japan. And I said, okay, well, I'm committed. I don't want to, but let's go. And I went on a mission trip to Japan, and it changed my life. And I am so passionate about the people of Japan today. So passionate. And then the following year, I think it was the second year in Bible college, they said, hey guys, we're going on another mission trip. And I said, maybe it's like this time it's going to be Maui or Bora Bora or Bali. And they said, this time it's China. I said, you have a sense of humor, God. You really have a sense of humor. There's four photos really quick that I want to share before I get into my story about China. Oh, Bruce Balcom sleeping. Oh, how did that get up there? Oh my gosh. Were you in a coma there? Rizzo 1, Balcom 0. Next one, this is just there's four photos here. Did I lose this? Stop it right there. That dude in the blue, You talk about being a laborer for Christ. I miss that guy every day. You know that guy was a youth pastor for 25 years? He used to take me to breakfast in Ramona, and he shared so many stories that I'm implying today. And the number one story that the number one piece of advice that he shared with me, it's so simple, two words, be present. Be present. I think we can use that theme in life. Be present with your family. Be present with your kids. Be present with one another. I miss that dude. Is there another one? And then that one. Anyways, here's my story. So, China. And the theme of this trip was praying for the one, or going after the one. I want to get all of China saved. But if I can get one, I think God can use that. So what had happened was we met once or twice a week in that building over there for about 3 or 4 months before the trip. And we were praying, who's our one? Who's that one person that God's going to send to us? We didn't know. We didn't know, obviously, but we would know when we got there who that one person was that we've been praying for several months. So we get over there, and we're doing our thing, and we're a Bible college in a communist, crazy country. And I believe, if I'm right, instead of Berean Bible College, it was Berean College. I think we had to drop the Bible. Am I right, maybe? Anyway, so we did this agreement that we took their classes and learned Chinese and all that, but at night we did something called English Corner. English Corner. And what we got to do is we got to worship, play guitar and worship, and we got to share Jesus with them. And we're pretty far along. We're at a university called Honghui University in South China. And a lot of the team members, I don't know, 10 or 12 of us, maybe 14 of us, they had found their one and I hadn't. So I'm starting to get pretty frustrated because we're several days into the trip. I'm like, did I not pray enough? Did I not tithe enough? Did I not do this? Did I not do that? And we're going through and I'm like, man, I just want to find the one. Like, who's the one I've been praying for? So one night we're doing English Corner and I see this cute little Chinese girl sitting on the side with her back on the curb. And I'm like, ooh, maybe that's going to be my victim. So I go up to her and I sit down and we start talking and my name's Johnny, what's your name? She said, my name's Bird. I said, Bird, that's cool. And we start talking. We talked for several minutes, and she wanted Jesus, but her family would disown her. And this was before I had this crazy testimony of being dead and back and all that. I was just me. I was just me, and I just shared who Jesus was. She said, I can't. I can't. And I was getting nowhere, and I got really frustrated. So I got up, and I'm taking steps back to the group, and God says, that's your one. I said, come on. That's your one. No, it's not. That's your one. No, it's not. Go back. And I'm like, God, I'm already a fool. You want me to go back again? Now I'm going to become a fool twice? And God said, uh-huh. So I go back, she's still sitting there, and before my behind can even hit the curb, she looks up and she says, I want that Jesus that you have. Come on. And I put my arm around her and we prayed, and she surrendered her life to Jesus. That was my one. Come on. So what had happened was that the next year we went back to China. And my heart is now for the people of Japan and China. I love Asia. Oh my gosh, I love it. And we go back and we had met connections at this university and we had seen the majority of them. The majority of them we had seen. And what had happened was I hadn't seen Bird. And I'm like, oh man, maybe she graduated. Maybe she went on and did something else. I don't know. But what I do know is that the seed was planted and she accepted the Lord as her Savior. And one day, Bruce, you're going to remember this. We went to that swallow cave. And it was this deep cave, and it was hot. And we're in this boat in this river in this cave that went miles back. And I was so sweaty and cranky and whiny. And we stayed in very nice hotels. And all I wanted to do was get back to the hotel, shower, put on comfy, clean clothes, and blast that air conditioning. And then I drifted off into a deep sleep in this bus that we were on with my head down. And I fall asleep, and all of a sudden I hear this, off the bus, Rizzo. I'm like, what is going on? And I wake up, and a few of us get off the bus on this gangster-looking dirt road, and the bus goes back to the hotel, and I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. And the missionary that we were with and four or five of the team members walked a few blocks to this really sketchy-looking house. And they open up the door, and they say, go upstairs. And I'm like, all right, cool, God, I'm good with you. Let's go to heaven. And we go up this flight of stairs, and we enter this room. And it was a very tiny room. And what I remember from it was there was a ceiling fan that was spinning hot air, and all the windows were shut and closed. And there's a circle of chairs surrounding the walls. And there was anywhere from 40 to 60 Chinese people worshiping God in an underground church. How cool is that? I got to experience an underground church in China. And that night, for the next 4 hours, I didn't care about my shower. I didn't care about my hungry belly. I didn't care about that air conditioning. I was showering in my own sweat. And we witnessed for 4 hours people raising their hands, speaking in tongues. And to this day, that's the coolest memory, besides the day I got married, that I have. And I do remember Bethany Balcom was sitting to my right, someone, a few Chinese people. And all of a sudden, I turned to my left and I noticed someone. And she looked at me, and it was Bird. It was my one from the year before, the one that I had been praying for. You want to know what happens when you're obedient? What happened was, Bird was my one. She accepted the Lord. She started these Bible studies in these underground churches on a campus of 13,000 students in communist China where you cannot be a Christian. And they exploded so much that she was the go-to girl. How awesome is that? All because of obedience. And I want to tell you something right now. I can promise you that some random person was sitting on their couch in Birmingham, Alabama, saying, Lord, there's someone in China right now as a missionary, and I want you to use them. Tomorrow is going to be even better. I love you guys.